Hello, and welcome to Stronger Together,
a podcast about strength, wellness, and navigating the hard things.
I'm Charlotte.
And I'm Leslie.
And we're yoga and mindfulness instructors who know that the path to wellness isn't easy.
And it's even harder without community.
We're here to offer real conversations,
raw and honest moments,
and to remind you that you're never alone.
So make yourself comfy.
And let's do it.
Because we are all stronger together. Hello, everyone. Welcome back. On today's episode, we are talking about anger. Let's talk about how it sometimes covers and overshadows other emotions and what we can do about it. Let's take a deep breath together. Inhale. Exhale. Hi, Char.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm feeling good. Not angry. Thank goodness.
Not angry at the moment.
Not at the moment. Are you feeling angry at all?
I can say there's a little bit of anger bubbling up in me.
I can understand why.
Mm-hmm. I know why. We'll get to it.
I'm very, when you said that you wanted to record this topic, I was like, yes, let's do it, because there's so much to say about it. Mm. And no matter who you are or what's going on in your life, it can resonate.
Yeah. And do you think, like I found in my life experience, that A, people don't talk about anger enough. And B, when they are talking about it, they're usually telling people not to be angry.
Mm. Yeah. Right? Yeah.
Like, don't be mad. Why are you mad? Right.
And right.
The why is okay. But if it's more about like just squashing it, I don't think that that's necessarily a productive conversation.
No, because we know, I mean, studies have shown us that underneath anger are an array of other things.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They say anger is a secondary emotion.
Yeah. Anger being a secondary emotion, was learning that was probably one of the most powerful trainings I ever had in my teaching career, my educational career. I went to a workshop on, I can't remember what it was called, but it was geared toward male students. Mm-hmm. And it was, you know, like struggling learners, how learning how to deal with male students can be different than female students. This was a long time ago, but the entire, like the overarching idea of the overarching idea of the workshop was, this idea of anger being a secondary emotion, but sometimes the emotion that comes right before the anger is such a split second that specifically a hormonal middle school boy wouldn't even feel it.
Yeah.
Wouldn't even be aware that anything happened before the anger, but something always occurs before the anger. And I just found that so fascinating, because in life, I think everybody has encountered somebody that just seems pissed off all the time. Yeah. Right. And we're like, why is this person angry? Why are they so angry? Mm-hmm. Well, why? Because there's pain under there.
Yeah. I was on a walk this morning and I saw a couple walking, and the girl was clearly angry at the guy. And she just had her arms out like this, fingers spread wide. She was talking with her hands, and he was just walking alongside her, like letting her emote or whatever it is.
Yeah.
But I could tell it was a fight that they were in. And like from the outside, for me, like looking at this girl who's so angry, there's almost this, I wish she would just calm down, this thought that I have in my mind, because if she was calmer, then they could have a productive conversation and actually solve it. But what I saw happening was she was so mad, probably for a good reason, at this guy, and nothing productive was coming from it at all.
Right. Yeah. And it's like, what's under the anger? Probably something that's so, you know, justified, and, you know, whatever it was, right? Whatever that original emotion was that led her to that anger. Once you get to that point, it's so difficult to be productive and to get to the point of resolution. Yeah. And who knows what happened at the end of their walk. Maybe he's been with her long enough to know she just has to get through it, and then we can have a productive conversation or not. I don't know. But I think that a huge part of this wellness journey is understanding our emotions and is actively choosing, is this anger serving me? Am I interested in going deeper? I'm always interested in going deeper. I'm always interested in saying what occurred first. Was it a split second before the anger? Mm-hmm. Was it 2 decades before the anger? Mm. What was I feeling and what caused me to feel this anger in my body, which isn't comfortable, or to have, like you just said, conflict with another person, which never feels, you know, that like angry conflict.
Yeah.
Just never really feels good to me. Mm-hmm. Because if I'm operating from this place of anger, chances are I'm operating from a place of pain.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, and I just want to be really clear before we move any forward that Charlotte and I are not saying that we shouldn't be angry, but this is more about like getting a little bit deeper, finding the layers underneath the anger, because we know that chronic anger puts chronic stress on our bodies and that leads to long-term health issues.
Yes.
And we don't want that for anybody.
No way.
But for me, it was really helpful in understanding other people in my life.
Yeah, it gives you almost like more of an empathetic point of view, because you know that their anger is just, it's almost covering up something that's deeper and uncomfortable and maybe sad.
Right. And it can help you communicate with that person better. Like, yeah, exactly. Like standing from a compassionate, empathetic place with my own children, raising, you know, two boys, it was easier. As an educator of middle schoolers, it was really helpful.
I'm sure. Yeah.
And even seeing as yoga teachers, we've seen people walk into the yoga room pissed off.
Yes.
And 9 times out of 10, they leave in a completely different state.
Yeah.
We've also seen the practice of yoga bring up anger in other people, yeah, right? Because it helps us connect to those emotions that have maybe been dormant for a long time. Mm-hmm. So it's like, if you've been doing yoga for a long time and you may have felt that, like you get in your car and you're like, why am I pissed?
Yeah.
So this, to me, this information is very empowering, which is really like such a big part of my core values. And I know yours as well, is like empowering us to take charge of our own emotional well-being and deciding, all right, am I ready? Do I want to know what's beneath this anger or what?
Right. And I love that you just said this information helps us, because I recently attended a workshop with Emily Tarani, who is a master of psychology. She's a productivity coach, and she gives really great techniques and tactics to deal with stress and anger and all of these emotions. And during the workshop, she was having us think about things that stressed us out and things that made us feel angry. And she said, these emotions are information. And it sounds so simple, but it was like this aha moment for me where I was like, wow, it is just information. And if we can take that step back that you and I talk about all the time, that little pause, which, side note, is so much harder to do than when it you're is pissed to say. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. But if we can just take that step back and recognize, okay, there's information being presented to me. What am I going to do with it? Am I going to go deeper? Am I going to try to understand the patterns, the trigger? Like, am I going to try to solve what's going on deep?
Agreed. Right. Because I know the title of Emily's workshop was Peaceful Productivity. We'll tag Emily in the show notes. She posted a great reel today. And it's like, what do I want more of in my life? You know, peaceful, like serenity, contentment, or do I want to live my life in this kind of angry state of stress? I don't think most people do, but I do want to say that there is a time and a place for anger, for rage. And I think that right now, our culture is doing a really nice job of normalizing anger, especially for women, especially saying it is okay for women to be angry. Mm-hmm. We do not have to sit on the sidelines with our legs politely crossed and just sitting back and taking things. Like, if we are pissed, we are allowed to express that. But, you know, like this temporary rage, like screaming into a pillow and like processing rage, to me feels super healthy and super cathartic. But living in a state of anger, to me, feels really daunting and unhealthy, and something that can compromise our own emotional happiness and well-being, as well as relationships with others.
Yeah. And I love what you're saying too, especially with, you know, it, people normalizing women feeling angry, because anger, it leads to change. If we recognize, okay, I'm angry about something, something is deeply hurting me and it's making me just want to scream, it's going to make us do something about it. That can be almost like the breaking point. Feeling that rage can be the breaking point to take the steps and change things and move forward. So I agree with you. I think it's a totally healthy emotion to feel. Mm-hmm. And we just want to make sure that it's not the one that's running the show.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Right. Right. And oftentimes it's like our anger steps forward because that primary emotion is too uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Right. So it's just, it's too painful. So mm-hmm. that anger steps in and we're like, okay, here we are. We're pissed off.
Yeah. And mm-hmm. like, let's even just think about that for a moment. Like when we think of feeling anger, feeling angry, it's kind of this closed off feeling where it's, maybe it's, I'm going to blame other people, or I'm so angry at X, Y, and Z. And I'm just kind of putting this armor on, this wall yeah. up. But if we think about the primary emotions that lay underneath anger, they're usually like sadness or grief or worry or anxiety, whatever they are.
Fear.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Those are more emotions that have an energy of vulnerability.
Yeah.
And instead of putting up the armor, when we admit I'm scared or I'm sad, we're opening ourselves up. We're asking for support. And the difference between the two of those can make or break a relationship.
Mm.
Like we're talking about anger in a bunch of different ways, but if we go back to that anger in relationships, like if I'm mad at my fiance Russ for something, if I keep that wall up and all I do is point my finger at him and say, you did this, you made me feel this, you aren't X enough, you know, you have to change. If I just rephrase that a little bit and said, the way that you did this made me feel sad, that is a completely different energy of the conversation that allows him to take ownership of maybe something that he did that hurt my feelings, give me a hug and fix and repair, rather than just putting up his wall and then it's fighting each other and nothing gets
shutting
done.
Down, mm-hmm. right? No conversation sometimes. Whereas like the response that jumped into my heart when you said that is, tell me more about why that made you feel sad.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Whereas like, if you're coming at them with your arms crossed and you're angry, there's just people, there's like, we talked about this earlier in a different context, but there's no entry point.
Yeah.
There's no entry point when you're leading with rage and anger. Mm-hmm. It's interesting because when I took this initial workshop, and anyone who has young kids or has dealt with kids or is an educator, I know we have a lot of parents and educators that listen to the podcast. The most common primary emotion, especially in middle schoolers, that precedes anger is injustice.
Oh.
And if anyone has ever worked with a child, they hear, that's not fair.
Yeah. Right?
That's not fair. It is a huge emotion in kids because so much, if not all of their lives is not within their control.
Yeah.
Right. So I feel I'm listening to that. What is that? A motorcycle?
Motorcycle. Me being angry at the motorcycle.
You being angry. That sounded angry. Oh gosh. But that to me changed the way that I viewed that feeling of injustice in kids.
Yeah.
Let's talk about fairness. Let's talk about why that doesn't feel fair to you. Especially for me as an inclusion teacher, where, you know, like my mantra in there is like, fair doesn't mean everybody gets the same thing. Mm. Fair means everybody gets what they need in the moment.
Yeah.
Right. So if I'm a struggling learner, I'm going to need something very different than an independent, you know, high functioning student may need. And that doesn't equate as unfair, but it can feel that way, right?
Yeah.
It can feel that way. So I think if any of us go back to childhood memories, we can all find something that felt unfair to us. Even now, there's a lot of things going on culturally that feel like a big sense of injustice. And and it does cause a lot of conflict on social media and in relationships. But just speaking about being able to say to a child, like, I see that you feel really angry about that because it wasn't fair.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't feel fair to you that I called on five people and you really had something important to say and I didn't get a chance to call on you and you felt unheard. You felt not seen by me.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about why that felt unfair.
Yeah.
I mean, so beautiful as opposed to saying like, stop being angry.
Right.
You know, to an 11-year-old, which just makes them feel angrier.
Yeah. It's not going to do any good when you tell somebody to stop feeling something.
Yeah. Or if you see like, you know, your child, depending on the language ability of your child, the age that they're at. I know there are a lot of toddlers that actually do have a quite extensive vocabulary. I see you look angry right now. Can you tell me more about that? How are you feeling? Mm-hmm. Because then what we're literally teaching our children is there's something under the anger.
Yeah.
There is a reason why you feel that way. Mm-hmm. It's okay to be angry. I say that to my students now. It's okay to feel angry. It's okay that this hurts you. But let's talk about what's under it. Why do you feel this way? What's making you feel angry? And then there is the, I feel frustrated. I feel, you know, it could be frustration. It could be a lack of belief in themselves. It could be, I don't know how to get started on this task. So this task is making me angry. Mm-hmm. You are the one who assigned this task or this chore if I'm a parent. So you're making me angry, which a lot of times kids are saying, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to do this.
Yeah. They're just asking for help in a different way.
Yeah. And then we get angry on the other side as parents, right?
Yeah.
Any parent who's ever given their kid a 3-step direction and they only follow one step, the parent's like, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah.
I told you to do X, Y, and Z and you only did Z.
Yeah.
Well, they didn't know what they either didn't hear the X and the Y. They didn't understand how to get started. I mean, that can executive functioning abilities and skills. That can be a whole nother conversation.
But definitely.
There's a lot going on in the way that other people process information and our expectation of people and how they process information.
So when you have those conversations with your students and they're angry and you ask them, like, let's go deeper, do you find that they're able to go deeper right away or do they need some time to feel and express the anger?
It definitely depends on the student. And I think it depends on the culture of the classroom. So for my students, because we do social emotional learning every day, we practice mindfulness. They're very much, especially this time of the year, aware of what a productive conversation looks like and sounds like. Mm-hmm. That being said, depending on the level of their anger, and their own personal emotional IQ, right? Some kids are really expressive and really able to, but I find with the right questions, with a trusting relationship and a declared safe space where kids feel a deep sense of belonging, those are the recipes for beautiful discussions and like the ability for these kids to go deep right away.
Okay, cool.
So it's rare for me at this point in my teaching career to not be able to uncover what's under the anger very quickly.
Mm-hmm. The reason I ask is because I know my own tendencies, like again, depending on the level of the anger, sometimes I'm able to go deep right away, but other times if I'm feeling really angry about something, I could need like 2 hours of just being by myself, taking a walk, like calming myself down, and using all those tools that we have in our tool belt before I'm actually ready to like discover. Cause sometimes I'm like scared to discover. I don't want to know what's underneath. I don't want to feel that like vulnerability.
Right. And because you being a mindful person, you kind of know like, oh, this could be something, like we said, this could be something from 2 decades ago.
Yeah.
You know, like this could be something really deep. For the most part, a lot of the mediation and the troubleshooting that I'm doing at school, especially in the middle school, is like acute stuff, like things that happened in the moment that we're able to uncover pretty quickly. But there are definitely times that we have a learner coming in with, you know, deeper stuff that comes out when they're ready. And I think that if we learn how to respect anger and we learn how to respect it as an expression of information, then A, I'm not afraid to see an angry student, right? Mm-hmm. There was a time in my career where that would really kind of rattle me.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of able to take my grounding deep breath. And this doesn't have to be with a student. This can go with dealing with anybody who's angry. I can take my grounding deep breath, kind of like feel like I'm grounded, protected, and shielded. Like I'm not taking on their anger.
Yeah.
I can separate it. This anger does not have to do with me. This anger is not mine to take on. That's really important part of like the healthy interaction. And then just kind of gauging, does this student look like they're ready to calm down? Or I can simply say, you know, are you ready to have some help to solve this problem? Or do you just need some time? You know, sometimes they're like, I just want to get a drink of water and come back, things like that.
Yeah.
And that's true for us too. Sometimes we just need to like go into the bathroom, take a few deep breaths and come out and we're ready. Other times it's like, I'll see you in the morning.
Yeah.
I'm not ready to talk about this right now. You know?
Yeah. You need your time. I also find that like, maybe this can resonate with you too, because I know that you have experienced grief. But around anniversaries of the grieving process, maybe my mom's loss or her birthday or something, I will find myself just angry for no reason. Mm-hmm. And I can get to a point where I'm just like, anything can set me off and I just want to like smack someone in the face. I would never do that, but like that's the rage that I feel. And then it all comes out. Then like,
right.
It just like the sadness comes up and there's no clear, like I didn't decide for the anger to stop and the sadness mm-hmm. to start. It kind of all just like blends into one another. And then before I know it, instead of like, I'm sobbing.
You're sobbing, right.
And
it's
so
funny. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, like, I just feel like the hard emotions, the uncomfortable emotions, especially having to do with grief, they're so deep within us mm-hmm. that sometimes we can't even access them without feeling that anger, which I know, right. I think is a stage of grief, anger.
For sure it is.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, for sure. Well, you said around the anniversary of my mom's death, I feel angry for no reason. But there's always a reason.
Yeah,
right?
There's always a reason.
And that's what we do. We're like, why do I feel angry today? So mm-hmm. here is this practice of paying attention to the anger, noticing the information. But it's funny when you mentioned little things set me off. That's what I was actually going to say. I was going mm-hmm. to say, for me, I notice when I'm in like a grief wave, I'm super irritable.
Yeah.
So that irritability, right? So it's like grief, irritability, anger.
Uh-huh.
So if I catch the irritability in that phase and I go, oh gosh, why am I feeling so easily irritated? Things that normally don't bother me are bothering me. That's like a very good gauge for me mm-hmm. to know that if I don't do a little investigating or a little bit of movement or a little bit of breath work or get out into nature, there's going to be anger.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're like stopping it before.
Yeah. Yeah. That mm-hmm. irritability is a good gauge for me. Mm-hmm. unless I feel that the only way out is through, right. Mm-hmm. Which we've talked about in previous episodes. And then I need to just surrender to the anger, go through it.
Yeah.
Allow myself the ugly, angry cry, cancel mm-hmm. plans, get away from people who are annoying me and let that anger out, do my journaling, whatever it is, whatever's going to work for me. Screaming into a pillow, whatever that is.
Yeah.
Shaking is really good. Shaking.
I've heard.
Shaking the body is so amazing to release anger. So putting on a loud song and just shaking, like moving through that. And then I can say, okay, now I'm going to see how I feel. Am I still feeling irritable?
Yeah.
Like 99% of the time I'm not.
Yeah.
But it's tough. I don't like that energy of irritability. It just doesn't feel good to me. That vibrating at that frequency just feels like not where I want to be.
Yeah. I totally
agree.
It's
like a very low energy, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's almost like we can judge ourselves for feeling like that sometimes, which creates even more of it. It's like, why? Yeah. I'm angry at myself for judging myself for this. Like,
because that's the primary emotion. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like judgment, that sense of feeling judged is a primary emotion that can lead to secondary anger. Like there's just so much we could all sit in a room together and just like start to identify all these primary emotions that lead to anger. But at the end of the day, the point of this episode is to A, validate our anger.
Yeah.
B, let everybody know that, to be human is to be angry sometimes. And then, C, to leave people with some possible steps, knowing that there's no one right way out.
Right.
But like just giving our listeners like, hey, try this next time, try this. But for me, like I said, just the knowledge mm-hmm. of anger being a secondary emotion was one of the most empowering moments of my career so far.
Yeah. It's almost like freeing in a sense. It's like,
exactly.
There's nothing wrong with me. It's
right.
I'm a human.
And there's nothing wrong with my students. Right. Mm-hmm. They're like, there's nothing wrong. They're just expressing information. And I think that the tenderness that comes with dealing with a child as opposed to an adult is they are so often unaware of their mm-hmm. primary emotions, but we have the ability to label and to investigate and to ask ourselves the questions.
Yeah.
What's the source of the pain?
Right.
That's a great question. I feel really angry right now. What's the source of my pain?
Yeah.
Eckhart Tolle says in The Power of Now, where there is anger, there is always pain.
Mm.
So what's the source of my pain right now?
Mm-hmm. I love that as like a general rule, you know, like where there is anger, there is always pain. Mm-hmm. If we can just have that in our minds, we could connect so much more, not only with ourselves, but with other people.
Mm-hmm. It helps me when I'm, you know, cause I have like a pretty decent commute every day. And like when you see people with road rage, like I'm like, wow, they must be in a lot of pain.
Yeah. It's so true.
And that's not my pain to take on. Yeah. But like you said, I can try to operate from a place of empathy and compassion. Sometimes it feels like the pain is directed at me. Remember when I was on the phone with you one day and I was like, oh my God, that girl just gave me the finger. It was so mean.
Yes. I know. Like, you know what I'm thinking right now? Like road rage, the reason that we call it rage is because it's so intense. And I wonder if it's because there are two things that person is out of control with. One, it's the reason for their pain in the first place. Yeah. But two, it's their environment. They like when you're in traffic, you cannot control anything.
Nope.
So it's just triggering this feeling of being out of control, which can also bring up those primary emotions that are hard to work through. So,
And then, add being late to that and all those other things. But I mean, traffic is like the ultimate source of, like a ultimate place to practice surrender. Like, what are you going to do? Where are you going to go?
Literally. Literally. You got to go inwards.
Exactly. There's nowhere else to go.
I know. So when we were preparing for this episode, we kind of outlined like four different things that we can do next time that we're feeling angry. With the first being just, it sounds so much more easy than it is, but feel the anger without judging it.
Yeah.
And just like getting curious about the anger. Do you feel it anywhere physically? Does it manifest with increased heart rate, or do you actually feel your blood pressure increasing? I can actually feel when that happens to me.
Same.
Are you sweating? My armpits itch sometimes. Like, this is a weird thing.
That's so funny.
But just getting curious of how that anger and that emotion shows up in your body.
I feel it like in the sides of my neck and like in the hollow of my throat. Uh-huh. Right. And it's like that, like, oh, and I know it's because I'm probably trying to not express that anger. So it's starting to collect energetically so quickly.
Yeah.
But I want to add to that, not only feeling it without judging it, but labeling it, like even saying out loud, I feel angry.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
and I like the way you just said that too. I feel angry instead of I am angry. Mm. There's such a difference in language.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel angry. Like, what's happening? What's up?
Yeah.
So feeling it, labeling it, not judging it, and certainly not beating yourself up because of it.
Oh yeah. No way.
Yeah. Paying attention to those physiological signs and and noticing, exactly what you said. Where in your body do you feel it?
Yeah. And then like, can we use that energy? Can we channel it and release it in a healthy way instead of maybe putting it on to undeserved people or judging ourselves even further for it? But are there things that we can do to actually like release the anger?
Yeah. Yeah. So we talked a little bit of, like, as we've been going through this, shaking, huge, screaming into a pillow. Have you ever done that?
Like once, like, but it scares me.
Yeah, because it's really, talk about a release of control.
Yeah.
Like screaming at the top of your lungs into a pillow has been, it's wild, because what ends up happening a lot of times is like, you don't realize how angry you really are.
Yeah. And I think there's something so vulnerable about using your voice. And like when you're screaming, you are using your voice at the highest octave that you can do. It almost, I don't know, it like actually scares me. It feels like there's like a demon coming out of me. I'm like, who is this?
Right.
I don't like it.
Because you're like, I don't know. I didn't realize I had this capacity for rage. Yeah. But then oftentimes if you do that screaming into a pillow, you end up crying.
Yeah.
And then right away, there's like what was under the the anger was sadness.
Yeah.
Right. And then, you know, if you have an opportunity to journal after or to talk to a friend, you can, you know, try to get to the root of whatever that feeling was, whatever that sadness was. That to me has been a really great way of moving through the physical parts. And then, you know, I know some people love to go for a run, take a walk. I love, if you live near water, I mean, we're lucky enough here on Long Island to live, you know, so close to water in so many different ways, but getting down to the water is like something that's really helpful for me. Or your favorite form of movement.
I've heard of people, like places in the city that have just a room of glass, and you can take this glass and you can just shatter it. And it's wow. like a way to just channel your rage. People do it with axe throwing too. You go, you find this axe and you just throw it as hard as you can. I've never done it.
But the glass, the breaking of the glass. Wow.
Yeah. Yep.
It's like, really, it's like, you know what that feels like? It feels like productive anger. Like I'm choosing to do this and release anger as opposed to I'm in the middle of a fight and I'm going to throw a glass against a wall.
Right. Exactly.
You know what I mean? It's like, yes. I'm choosing to productively process and release my anger.
Yeah. I'm paying for this place. Probably most likely you're like paying for a ticket to go in.
I'm sure.
But yeah, I loved that when I heard it. And then also just like reminding ourselves exactly what Emily Tarani taught us.
Mm-hmm.
Emotions are information, and getting curious, like what types of emotions are underneath your rage, mm-hmm. your anger.
Yeah. Just getting curious and whatever that feels like for you, like whether it's labeling it out loud, listing it in your journal, drawing a picture, mm-hmm. you know, but allowing yourself to be like, I feel angry right now. What's the information? What am I uncovering?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's hard to do by ourselves. That's why I'm saying journal. Mm-hmm. But I know that's something we wanted to add, you know, as a functional step is finding safe people that you can be vulnerable with, whether it's, you know, like you said, our DMs and our emails are always open. If you're mm-hmm. looking for a safe place to just release something, a trusted friend, a partner, mm-hmm. a therapist,
mm-hmm.
any of those, when I'm feeling that anger kind of bubbling and it's not going away, it's like gnawing at me,
mm-hmm.
I know, okay, I have to make a therapy appointment because mm-hmm. I feel it. I know there's something underneath. I don't want to carry it.
No. It'll just get heavier and heavier and heavier if you don't put it down.
Yes, absolutely. And I also feel like it's insidious, like it's contagious in a way. So
yeah,
I see this all the time in school. Like you walk into a room, everyone's laughing. You start laughing. You don't even know why you're laughing. Because that energy is contagious. Same thing with the anger. Like you walk into a room and that energy is there. That anger is there. All of a sudden you're like, now I'm pissed.
Yeah. Yep. It's so true.
And I wasn't. You know?
Yeah.
So we need to ground and shield and protect ourselves from other people's energy, but sometimes it's really challenging to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that, and that's another reason why like moving through this is so, it's so important because it's not something that if I'm looking for things that I want to be invasive and contagious, I want it to be higher frequency mm-hmm. emotions. I want it to be more joy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's just something to be mindful of, like the energy in the room too.
Yeah, yeah, I totally agree. And just like always reminding ourselves, like we had a whole entire episode on emotions make us human. And there's nothing wrong with anything that we feel. There is just always an opportunity to get more curious on this mm-hmm. journey and figuring out who we are and what's going on. And there's always a way to do that to support your wellness. And that's why mm-hmm. we're here. That's why we do these types of episodes, so we can help give you the tools, give you the checklists to reference when you are feeling angry.
Do you have something other than grief that like kind of stands out to you as a primary emotion that leads to anger, or is grief pretty much your...
Yes. Feeling like anxious about my future, about like not knowing, you know, I'm still kind of in this like existential crisis mode of, do I want to get a job or do I want to work mm-hmm. for myself? And not knowing that answer can leave me just feeling stuck and mad.
Yeah.
And it definitely comes out for me on overcast days. I don't know what it is, but not seeing the sun gets me so angry. So that's why I'm like using all these things on these checklists to realize like, I'm angry. It's okay that I'm angry, given the fact that it's overcast and I'm confused with what I want to do with the rest of my life. Like we have that sentence that we always mm-hmm. use, that sentence frame.
Yeah, validating our emotions. Do you feel the gloominess first and then the anger, or do you feel like, ooh, it's gray, I'm angry?
It's gray, I'm angry. It's like instant. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's so profound though, that you know it and that you must really hate when you know it's going to be a gray day.
It And what I do is I keep my blinds closed because I do not want to see the gray sky. I keep my blinds closed and I put on like soft accent light to make it like a sunset in here. I also have sunset glasses that I'll wear sometimes. Oh. Because I don't know, the way that you view the world.
What a great hack. What a great life hack.
It's an actual hack. It's rose colored glasses, you know, like it's actually seeing the world in a sweeter way. And even if we have to hack our bodies to do that, we do that.
Right. Absolutely.
Do you have anything that stands out to you that, you know, might be a primary emotion?
Often? I do. If I don't feel safe.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
If I don't feel safe and I don't process that, that leads to irritability and anger for me.
Yeah.
But that's only something that I've been able to uncover, I would say, like I've been on this path for a long time, you know, decades. And I would say that that's only something, even though I had this information about anger being a secondary emotion, being able to like turn the lens onto myself and seeing it is that that's probably only something I've realized in the last couple of years. So I try to have very productive conversations about it or just express that lack of safety or that fear, the fear that comes with not feeling safe, then leads to, you know, whatever that's like. Like, let me just give you like an example. So like if my kids forget their keys and they go out and they're, you know, they're forgetting that they're not in college because they came back home, right? So it's like, who's walking in at 2 a.m., who's walking in at 3 a.m. and nobody has their keys. So I have to leave the door open.
Yeah.
But then that makes me feel unsafe.
Yeah.
Because the door is not open. So then I get pissed.
Yeah.
Right. I'm angry. Like, like the door needs to be locked. Get the key. Like whatever it is. Like something like that. That like it may sound silly, but it's like that took me some time to uncover, to make the connections between the things that do feel like a trigger to me, that irritate me and that eventually lead to anger. It took me a while to figure out that the pattern feels like my primary needs aren't being met. I don't feel safe in this situation.
Is that something that you tell your boys when they leave the door unlocked? Like, do you have a conversation to let them know what your primary emotions are?
Probably not as much as I should. I do with my husband more.
Yeah.
Because he grew up in upstate New York where he didn't lock his door ever. He never has a key. So yeah. I'm like, you know, so I do feel angry with him sometimes. Mm-hmm. Like if he's out for work or he's playing tennis and he's coming home and I'm like, I'm going to bed.
Yeah.
Like I need to go to bed. I have to get up early. You're not coming home for hours and you forgot your key again, you know? So we're getting better with it. We're getting all better with it. And at this point I'm like, you know what? I'm locking you all out. And you're just gonna have to figure it out. Crawl through a damn window. I don't know.
I love it. Well, it's funny that you're saying this too, because you had a really productive conversation with me just last night and today about a moment where you were feeling unsafe. And like you really allowed yourself to listen to your body and express, like, I don't know if you want to get into it on the podcast, but you listened to your body. You felt a little bit of like irritability. And then you said, oh, this is what's going on. What's causing
this? Mm-hmm. This is what's going on, right? Mm-hmm. Exactly. And I want to move through it right away.
Yeah.
And understanding, like, and we've talked about this before, like what it feels like to reside in my sympathetic nervous system versus my parasympathetic nervous system. I feel that very quickly now. I feel that sense of fight or flight. Exactly like you said, like the heart palpitations, the increased heart rate, you know, I'm able to feel it and identify it so quickly that I can be like, oh, I need to have a productive conversation about this.
Yeah.
Because oftentimes my safety is not really in somebody else's control oftentimes. Right. So this is like, I have to figure out how to navigate the world so that I feel safe.
Yeah. And advocate for yourself.
And I think that's why it's so important for me to create a safe space in my classroom where kids feel like they belong. And I say all the time, this is a safe place for you. When I teach yoga, I say all the time, this is a safe container for you. Like that to me is so important because I know how I feel when I'm not, right? When I'm not feeling that. That's why I know who my safe people are in the world. And if somebody compromises that sense of safety, which maybe could just be simply as violating my trust or gossiping.
Yeah.
That doesn't feel safe. Right. So it's like so I'm able to question, is this a healthy relationship for me? All of those things go back to that sense of, trust and safety.
This conversation is so much deeper than I anticipated it, like than I thought we would get to. And it's, I don't know, it's just inspiring me to like always think about how can we create for ourselves, how can we create atmospheres where we feel safe and where we're able to be vulnerable? Because when we can express our truth and advocate for ourselves and share our needs, it's less likely that that anger and resentment and irritability will come up in the first place, because we have the space to feel the primary stuff first.
Right.
So I don't know, this conversation gave me a lot and also is leaving me with this like renewed sense of inspiration to like prioritize safety in where I am at all times. And sometimes that's as simple as just having a conversation.
Yeah. Yeah. And recognizing those signals. I love that.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. I hope that our listeners feel the same way that you did. Like they got a lot of information and just inspired to continue to explore this idea and to go deeper and to find our own layers, find the pain beneath the anger, process it in a way, using our tools to process it in a way that's healthy, and seeking out people to help us if we don't have access to those tools just quite yet, or we just still just want to process it with somebody. I have all the tools in the world. I still love processing things with you. I still love talking things out.
Oh yeah.
Because that those emotions are information, and I'm an information seeker. You are too.
Yes.
You know, so it's like, I want more information on this because, you know, that the curiosity, the resolution, all of the good things, all like the sense of peace and contentment that come on the other side of it are just, that's where I want to be living.
Yeah, same. And we get one life in this one body for now. Why would we want to spend in this sympathetic, angry state when we can just seek the information and seek out a state of being where we are calm and not always calm, but like in the parasympathetic state more often, and positive is the norm instead of anger.
Yeah. I love it.
Yeah.
I love this conversation. I don't even know. I feel like this episode is going to be longer than our others. I don't really know because we recorded it in two parts, but we'll see how it lands after editing. But I think it's really important. And I feel like this is going to be one that we want to, you know, that our listeners want to come back to, save, download, bookmark, send us a message, all of those things, because, you know, this, like, you know, this is the power of now, right? Like this is what we're, this is how we're living now. Let's just live as well as possible.
Yeah, absolutely. So check out our polls in this episode, respond to our question. We'll put some question box on Instagram, but join the conversation because we want to hear what you think about this.
Yeah.
Thanks so much for listening,
everybody.
Thank you so
much. Thank you, Char.
Thank you, Les.
Take care, everyone.
Bye, guys.
Bye-bye. We hope you love that episode of Stronger Together.
And if you did, can you please share it with your friends and your family and your neighbors?
Yes, help us get this out there so that we can connect with more people.
And guess what? Spotify allows you to rate now. So if you're listening on Spotify, can you please rate for us? And Apple Podcasts lets you review. So review.
5 stars on Spotify and tell us what you love about the podcast. We are so happy that you're part of this community.
We love you.